God bless you as you study the Word this morning. We're beginning 2019 with a few weeks examination of our core values. Maybe your thought would be, every Christian church on the face of the earth has the same core values. I suppose that argument could be made, but it's kind of a wave today that local churches write their own and say, these are the things that are so essential to us that we can't hold on to them loosely or let go. Those are actually written on the back of the bulletin, and this morning we're going to talk about service. Not as in right here, a worship service, but as in serving one another. New Testament says we should serve one another in love. Scripture that I'm taking my thoughts from this morning is the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, and just the first four verses. Called Imitating Christ's Humility. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Amen. Christian Missionary Alliance, our denomination, some years ago, opened a website. The internet was on the rise. Everybody was having a website, so we should have one too. Not a bad idea. And as an ordained pastor, I received a note saying, here's how you should set up your own username and password. And I thought, it's an open public site about the denomination. Why would I need that? Well, there's also a limited access portal where I could access certain documents and where someone from the national office could send me a document or something that I would want to refer to. And so it informed me that this little pocket of the internet was called mycma.org. And I recall that my first response to that was, mycma? Isn't this a denomination of 2,000 churches here in our nation and with missionaries in 90 nations around the world? But as you know, if you access websites, it's kind of a trend today to personalize your browsing, isn't it? So most companies have something similar. MyWalmart.com, MyTarget.com, MySpeedingTickets.gov, stuff like that. It gives you the illusion, doesn't it, that Target's not just a store that you visit and buy stuff. It's your store. You're in the driver's seat. You arrange it the way you want. And that's not so important, but it's selling you the illusion that you're in charge of the universe, aren't you? You're the center. You get to have things the way you want. Hope Church has a website. We do not have a myhopechurch.com. But the truth is, if you think about what it means to practice body life, we're not just people who believe in Jesus and worship God, but we come together for corporate worship and other things because not just, well, for 2,000 years, this is what people have done, but because we have a central belief that we live the Christian life together with other people in relationships. And yet, you customize that experience, don't you? Hope Church is to you what you need it to be. In fact, we are many different churches. And I don't mean by that. Three different congregations meet in this building. If you're new today, you might have noticed on our sign, Hope Church, Crossword Church, Iglesia Esperanza. Three congregations meet here. But I mean to say, hope is a very different reality for some of us than for others. There's variations at church, aren't there? Remember my father describing his growing up and some of the conflicted relationships in his family, and his brother Don saying to him in his adult life, you know, Paul, our family was like this, this, and this. And my father said, Don, I did not grow up in the same family as you. My family has an older brother. Yours doesn't. That's very different. Same house, same parents, but we experience life in a very different way. And as a church, we're not the military. This isn't boot camp. Is that a good way to describe it? Never joined the armed forces, but I've heard the stories and watched movies, which of course I know are always accurate. So I know at boot camp, everyone has the exact same haircut. They don't ask, how would you like your hair today? They don't ask when they hand out the clothes, no, what color would you like, drab green? Because that's what you're going to wear. The boots might be your size, but everyone's wearing black boots. You go to bed at the same time, you get up at the same time. If you're going to run 5 miles, the sergeant doesn't ask, now who'd like to run this morning? They don't ask what you want for chow when you're going through line. It's the military. This is makes it easier. Everything is exactly the same for everyone. So this is not the army, is it? Church is a very different experience for us. Churches have people who feel this is their church, and they attend occasionally if there's not something else going on in their life. Some people come faithfully every week to worship and to hear a challenge from the Word. Other people do that, and besides that, try hard to respond to what they hear and grow in discipleship. Other people have that experience and they get involved in a small group, in a class, a study, in some kind of ministry. Other people do that and volunteer in some way and ask, how can I help out and make it happen here at this church? Other people do that whole package and have close friends or relationships at church. Many do not. Some people feel a little overwhelmed at getting involved in people's lives. Some people do all of that up to the relationship point and are invested in outreach. Realize the church right here in these four walls is not all of Christianity, but I need to reach out to other people. So we have in the same church, or people who would say, Hope Church of the Alliance in Apple Valley is my church, people who are come to church and it's kind of a personal experience by myself. And others who come and they're nearby other people, and others feel alongside others, and some feel like they're helping others, and some are investing others, and some have a life that's totally centered on other people. Those are all very different ideas. None of them are wrong. If you go to this church, I hope you trust that your pastor's not selling one of those ideas and shaming people who don't feel like they're in the premium package. Some people go to a church and love their church and are satisfied with it and everything it offers. Some people go to a church and wish it were better, or that some specific ministry was better, or that our church offered a ministry that we don't have. We're that church. All kind of ministries you could find in churches around us, we don't have. And maybe some we have that others don't. Or that we don't have yet and could. Or that we used to and don't have anymore. So it's one church, isn't it, Hope Church? But many distinct ones all at the same time, depending on you and what you want for it to be. I asked this question on the notes on your insert. We hear our world complain that modern people are self-centered. Is that more true of us today, or has it always been that way? Well, we're in a consumer world where there's a lot more stuff available today, isn't it? And since we're an affluent nation and able to buy a lot of that stuff, and the scripture says, not where your stuff is, there your heart will be also, because then your heart would be in the basement or the attic or the garage where all your stuff's accumulated. It says where your treasure is, that is, if it's important, this is central in my life to have all the right toys. And because there's so many options, it's easy for us to feel, well, we're very self-centered. How would you answer that question? By what criteria would you judge? Do I have that problem? Am I not other-centered? Am I a self-centered person? So, I'm just going to ignore Monday to Saturday, but think about this morning as you got up and prepared to come to church. Tell yourself, you don't have to tell me out loud, but what are your thoughts? Am I thinking, how wonderful, it's Sunday. I get to be with people who love the God I love and who are concerned about my growth and maturity and walking together in unity. Maybe you thought, well, I'm going to worship, but it probably won't be the sermon I want to hear. It's probably not the music I want to sing. Sanctuary is too hot. The sanctuary is too cold. Did you think possibly today's an opportunity to serve other people? See, that would answer the question in your mind. Am I other-centered or self-centered? Here's what Paul describes, things that should, in an ideal world or church, characterize our life together. We should be united in Christ. We should be encouraged by that. We should be comforted by His love. We should be tender and compassionate to one another. One spirit, one mind. Have humility. Look out for other people's interests. So that involves, obviously, knowing them at some level, asking what their needs are, their interests, asking, is there something I can do about that? What things should not be part of our life together? Selfish ambition, vain conceit, just looking out for my own life. I ask this question, if you feel you're being selfless, but other people in your church are selfish, what often happens after a while? Well, you tend to get discouraged, don't you? Well, why am I going to keep being the model Christian while other people just seem to be dragging along? They leave all the service to me? Maybe you have had that feeling in your church, including this one. These core values we're using as an evaluative tool. Are we this church? We say these things are important to us, are they? Are we really a church at all, or are we just pretending and hoping a goal like this will be reached one day? So Apostle Paul writes to believers in the city of Philippi, new believers, and here's what he says their church should look like in Philippi. Remember, their church doesn't have programs, doesn't offer things like we think a church should. It's not a consumer society. They don't have a church building. They don't have clergy. There's no staff. They meet together in people's homes. That's the only thing they can do. Sometimes in public buildings. There's no kitchen committee to line up a meal. They don't have a Sunday school. There's no youth director. There's no Bible. They just believe in Jesus. And here's what he tells them. This is what church needs to look like for you. Make my joy complete. Think the same way. Don't be selfish and vain. Be humble. And value other people above yourselves. Jesus said, when asked what's the great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul kind of ramps that up a little and says, serve your neighbor. Because while love should include that for us, we've kind of divorced a lot of action from love, and, well, I have this feeling. I love Frank. I like Susie. They're nice people. Frank has a need. Can you help him out? Ooh. So Paul says, you're part of the body of Christ. Serve others. He doesn't say ignore yourself. Notice that verse 3 says, value others above yourselves. Verse 4, don't look only to your own interests. So if you're living, you do need self-care. You need to care for yourself. We've used the illustration of the oxygen masks that drop in an airplane. I've been on a lot of airplanes, never seen those drop yet. Thank the Lord for that. But they tell you something very counterintuitive. If you're with elderly or handicapped people or little children, put on your own mask first and then help others. Because if you're a parent, help the little ones first. And in total loss of oxygen, while you're doing that, you'll pass out. And then the children won't be helped. So as a Christian, care for yourself. So in a church where I talk a lot about discipleship, I've heard people ask sometimes, so give me the evidence list. How do I know I'm getting there? This is the number one, in my personal opinion, indicator of spiritual discipleship that I'm following Jesus, is spiritual self-care. That I know how to pray, that I am in the Word of God, that I obey what I'm reading, that I love God, that I love other people, that I'm growing in my commitment to a local church. Not, I'm asking other people to do that for me. So you know when the toddler sits in a high chair and is no longer just taking milk, begins to eat, and you feed them with a spoon. Why? Well, you do want them to get nutrition. But also, it's cheaper to feed them with a spoon. Because if you just pour that in a bowl and let them have their hands on it, it takes about 3 jars of baby food for them to eat one, and you're going to clean the rest off the floor. It's cute because it's a child. Some of you have cared for parents in their later years in life and fed them with a spoon. Do you notice how it's not cute anymore? It's very difficult emotionally, isn't it? Because we think they should be able to care for that. So this is a true indication to me of spiritual maturity. I'm committed to the church. I'm committed to God. If I were suddenly fell in a hole or was trapped in a cave for a month and had no contact with anybody, my spiritual life wouldn't grind to a halt. I can commune with God. I can confess my sins. I have a little bit of scripture in my brain, even if I don't have a Bible with me. So when you need, I'm not denigrating this idea, when people as adults come to faith in Christ, they're naturally not going to be spiritually mature. And a church should help them grow, obviously. Sometimes I feel like people's spiritual life looks like this. And this is Sunday, the peak. Like, I need a fix. You run into a Christian on Friday and they're just like, oh, I need an injection. I go to worship to feel like God's in my life again. I understand. I'm just, my spirit is enthralled by the worship today. I don't worship like that every day. I worship God every day, but not in loud song. I don't sing in the shower. Maybe you didn't need to know that. I don't sing in my car. I listen to WCCO talk radio. I listen to Christian music in the morning when I'm on my bike in the basement. But this worship elevates my life. But I don't think the rest of the week, God is absent. What happened to that? I need to go back to church. Service. I need to serve my own interests. I need to serve the interests of others. That should become a natural thing in my life. I don't know when this started, but I noticed in recent years, when you're checking out at the grocery store, they often ask you, did you find everything you were looking for? Why do they ask that question? They don't want you shopping at 2 grocery stores, just theirs. Aldi doesn't want you getting some things at Cub Food, do they? You have to. It's a great store, Aldi, but they don't sell that much. Okay. Well, I'll just speak for our family. We shop at 2 places, okay? So maybe you have this experience. You know what? I like this church. But I'd answer the question, well, I didn't find everything I'm looking for here. So here's an idea. Maybe God brought you to Hope Church to be the change, to improve it for you and for all of us. Does that seem like a real radical idea? It doesn't offend me at all when people say, you know, Pastor, I'd like to see this change at Hope Church. I hope most of the people who attend here don't think, wow, this is the Nirvana Church. It's everything I ever wanted. Because that's not what I think. We can grow a lot in Christ and in community and what we do for one another and how we serve. You might notice on this little tear-off, you don't have to be a visitor to tear this off. Attenders, members of this church can do that. How would you like to get involved in teaching, nursery, greeting, worship, children? Most, if you read the annual reports that we're going to receive today in our meeting later, a number of our worship, of our ministry directors, worship is one, children's is another, saying, folks, we need some help. You might think, well, I'm not a professional of this or that. Okay? But if you have a basic interest in, why not think maybe this is where God wants me to serve? How do you serve the interests of others? We're thinking about the local church, the body. Here's another idea about outside of the church. What is the main interest of lost and seeking people? Jesus. When people are in profound anguish and spiritual agony and lostness, they often think they're looking for something else. I need a better marriage. I need a better relationship with my parents. I need a raise at work. I need more money. I need... But to serve their interests and not show them that we know the love of Jesus Christ. Seems profoundly remiss, doesn't it? So how are we going to pray about that? Well, Lord, give us a willing spirit. Well, Lord, help me not be so selfish. Lord, help me give a little bit of my time, because serving at church is going to involve work. Some thoughts from Henry Blackaby, devotional that Jolie and I are using this year. This is called Compelled to Serve. One mark of revival during which God comes to his people in power is that God's people are compelled to offer themselves in service. Many churches lack people who are willing to get involved in carrying out God's redemptive work. And so the pastor begins to plea for volunteers. What we need is not more pleas for volunteers. Not saying please, but a plea. What we need is an outpouring of the power of God. For when God comes among his people in power, there's never a shortage of volunteers or resources for his work. Amen. So that's all I'm going to pray for us today. I'm going to actually pray this passage from Philippians in the first person and ask that God would do this among us. But I'm also going to ask that he would pour out his power in our midst. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank Lord of the verses in Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you're saying there through the prophet, even we are unaware of the wickedness of our own personal hearts. So by your Spirit, help us understand what it means to serve others. And I ask that we would live out to your honor and glory and to our own joy this challenge of Paul to the Philippians, that we would be encouraged and united in Christ, that we would be comforted by his love and share commonly in the Spirit, the tenderness and compassion would characterize our lives, that we would make your joy, Father, complete, being like-minded and loving one another and having unity in spirit and in mind, that we would recognize our own selfish ambitions and conceit and vanity and battle against them, and in humility value others above ourselves, not looking to our own interests, but looking to and meeting and ministering to the interests of others. This is not our prayer to you, it's your prayer to us. It's what you desire for us before we would ever have thought of this. So we ask in humility, do this in our midst. And make us a church not just that says it's committed to service, but that shows it in our day-to-day life. In Jesus' name, amen.